Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. WestchesterTalkRadio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that Service built. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital, by Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayor Pack Bank. We are joined by Westchester County Executive George Latimer. George Latimer, we thank you for coming back again here on Westchester Talk Radio. I have to ask you, it is just after July 4th. What was your July 4th weekend like?
Well, it was a busy one, John. I mean, there's lots of different activities happening all across the county. I was able to attend an outdoor activity in Yonkers at Ridge Hill. I was part of blessing of the fleet in Larchmont Village. Managed to attend some events in some of the other communities, a couple of other concerts and historic activities and fireworks. So all in all, it was a busy weekend. It, you know, fits the nature of my job. It's not a day off. It's a day very much on in as many places as you could be.
How do you find time to get it all done, to be place after place after place? And that's been your reputation throughout your career.
Well, it takes a lot of energy. And I think it takes, a drive in order to do it. This job is one part substance and one part symbolism. And the substantive part is sitting here at the desk and dealing with complicated issues with a great team of people. And then part of it is the symbolism, being out in the community, visiting different types of organizations and events. And you have to do both if you want to be successful. You can't just attend to the events and show up and then not do the substance work. But if you do the substance behind closed doors, nobody knows what you're doing. And so they don't necessarily think that you're doing a particularly great job. They have to see you as well as see the work that you do.
Are you happy with the pace of reopening? Did we reopen too soon? Did we need to get more people vaccinated around the county and around the state?
Look, I think we did a terrific job. So far, I mean, we've vaccinated over 75%, approaching 80% of all adults 18 years of age and older. As the vaccines become available for younger children, we'll get a higher general percentage of the population, not just adults. And I think that properly so, when you're vaccinated twice and you've gone through the period that was necessary to 2-week period after you've had the second vaccination, that you should be able to reenter society a little bit more openly. And the fact that the masks have become now more optional than mandatory is all good. We're dying to be out there. And I think once you know that your vaccination numbers are good, then I think you have a justification to be out there. Some folks in other states did the opening without having the vaccination protection. And I think in the months to come, Westchester residents will fare well as the virus continues to be with us every day. I mean, it's still there. But the point that the infection numbers are down, the vaccinations number are up, that's a good bit of news.
Now we have to worry about the Delta strain. We hear more about it day to day coming here from India. It's in all 50 states. It's in our area and region too. Those who are unvaccinated, without us being preachy, how do we get them vaccinated to understand this is about everybody?
Well, I think you have to recognize that, in the remaining cohort, if we're going to use 76, 77% accomplished, of the 23% that remain, there's a very small percentage of people who just haven't made it convenient enough for them or some other external factor. But the vast majority of the people that aren't vaccinated now don't want to be vaccinated. That is their choice. And they've had every opportunity over now almost 6 months since we've vaccinated our first person in January. And so this is a willful desire to do this. And I think you reach a point of diminishing returns where you spend money to promote and to do these things, and it doesn't matter to those people for whatever reason they've chosen not to be vaccinated. So I think we have to hope that we're close to herd immunity. And I think that those of us who are vaccinated, go out, live our lives, don't continue to stay hidden in a hole, because that isn't going to help you get any safer. And then also hope that those who are unvaccinated as of today have some cathartic moment that makes them realize that this is not part of some macro plot. This is for good public health.
We are 2 months away from school reopening in September. Here we are, early July, first week. As things stand right now, will schools be fully reopened come autumn?
Well, only the governor can make that decision, but it seems to me as if we're on a path to open schools fully in the autumn. We've had this tail end of the school academic year that started to open up pretty well, pretty dramatically. And we've had some graduations and other activities that would symbolize the transition from one year to the next. But, there's going to be some protocols that are going to have to be in place. We don't know in 2 months when school would reopen across the board if everything is going to proceed the way we hoped that it will. We'll find out as we live the life the next two months. But I'm reasonably confident this is going to be a good fall year, just as you're seeing now, a good summer year, a lot better than last summer's year, where there was very limited outdoor activities and things to keep people busy. And now you have them open. And once something opens, there's tremendous demand. So you're seeing a big uptick in effort and activity out in the community.
Have we received enough stimulus money in Westchester from the feds to the state and coming down, trickling down locally? And if so, or in general, where is that money going?
Well, the stimulus money comes with specific instructions from the federal government. It's called the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA. And President Biden and the people around him have given instructions that our budget people are looking at, so we know what is an acceptable expenditure and what is not acceptable expenditure. I think we have to work on the basis that this particular plan, coming on the heels of last year's Coronavirus CARES Act money, really represents the best effort of the federal government to help us help ourselves, and that we're expected not to count on this kind of money in future cycles, that we get it, we use it wisely. We use it for things that we have to use it for, overtime for health department workers, obtaining and distributing PPE, things that are practical things that and or necessary things that affect our budget. We can't afford to be fanciful in our thinkings and do boutique type of activities if they don't really generate the greatest amount of movement, toward ending the virus and the vaccinations and the internal behaviors.
Knowing this money is earmarked before it gets down to you locally in Westchester, if you see something that you really need money for and you don't see money earmarked, designated for that, can you go back to the feds and say, look, can we move this here and move this here and move that there?
Yeah, I think, they've given us flexibility to be able to think through what our needs are. Last year, we used our money wisely. We used it for food insecurity to help make sure that people were unemployed, their families got access to food. We put a significant amount of money in that direction. We used money to help out small business owners with direct grants, and we have a program similar to that this year that will take up some of our resources. We certainly are going to need quite a bit for eviction prevention, although there is a separate pot of dough that will probably cover that, but that's also federal largesse because we're in an unusual time. We've never been through these many numbers of people that might be evicted all at once. It's going to be a tremendous strain if we don't have a plan, but we do have a plan. ERAP, Emergency Rental Assistance Program, is underway. That's state money, partially funded by the feds. And there's also restrictions on that as well, but also the flexibility to be able to use it as we see fit to help solve the problem. And the problem in each of these cases are different. If a person's out of a job, can he feed his family? If you have an individual who has a small business and how are you going to help him rally his business? If you're an individual that, is working overtime and you need daycare for your children in order for you to work, all of those are things that are proper expenditures for the stimulus money to get us back to normal. Then once we get back to normal, we resume the normal budgeting process, the normal business climate, and we should see things, bounce back fully from what we've just been through.
County Executive George Latimer here on Westchester Talk Radio, the Cup of Joe political show. I'm John Marino, westchestertalkradio.com. George Latimer, Rye Playland, had a smash of a reopening, like a huge Broadway hit opening night. Could not have gone better. What do you do for an encore?
Well, we have a few more opening nights. We had a terrific Monday for July 4th, the week after we had a terrific opening. Playland is a weather-dependent institution, so when we get poor weather, it does affect, the turnout and the attendance. So we have to be realistic about what we can expect week to week. It's a shortened season, so we're not going to break any aggregate attendance records. That's still going to be a concern for us, however, that we maximize while we're open our revenues. Even if we know it's going to be hard for us to pull a profit, we just want to show that the park is back in business, running vibrantly. And we've had some early, very good responses. And I think if that's indicative at Glen Island, at our pools, at our beaches, at our golf courses, then I'd say that it's really part of the statement of the fact that we're reopening, not just for business, but we're reopening for families. We're reopening for all of these range of activities.
What constitutes success at Playland this summer?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I think while the number of attendees will not exceed what we've done the last couple of years, 2019 was a particularly good bounce back year, so I don't have high expectations for 2021. But we'll look at the per capita attendance and the per capita spending. So, you know, if you have 15, 20 less days than you had to be in the amusement park a year ago, 2 years ago, you can't compare those numbers of revenue to today's numbers, but you make a proportionate. And if with so many less days in the park, we generated, you know, so much business activity, that's a better indicator to match up to 2019, 2018, and so forth. But I think those indicators of success is also not just numeric, but it's subjective. And it's what people write on the Facebook pages. It's how people react in other settings. And we're looking for that word of mouth you know, to kick in, because when it does, then you'll see better than any ad campaign when your friend tells you, John, go to this barbershop, or John, use this dentist, or use this car mechanic. Personal recommendations go a long way. And I think it's going to go a long way with Playland. That, you know, whatever you remember Playland as, it is not that. It is now revitalized and it's moving forward.
So what you've seen at Playland so far this year, does this bode well for outdoor activities around the county for the rest of the summer?
Well, we're going to move forward a lot of outdoor activities. We're going to start up our fireworks at Playland coming up this Friday night and then Friday nights throughout the summer. So I think our indication is that we saw this last year as well as this year. We're able to manage our golf courses, our pools, our beaches, and do it within the parameters of what the state and federal government require us to do, but at the same time, operate it and be able to satisfy a lot of people. And I think if there is a surprise in the overall response to COVID, it's that you know, people are not demonstrably depressed and they're bouncing back, and you're starting to see a surge in demand for things that they had to forestall for the course of the pandemic.
Will we see reopening around the county during the summer when it comes to outdoor events all around Westchester, basically?
Yeah, you're going to see. I mean, we're open. We're open for business now, John. All of our parks, once we got Playland back, now we're fully back to business. We don't have the county center, obviously. That's still a testing site. But we're back in business. We're open, open, usable, and people are having a great time out there in the various different types of parks because there's different types of recreation. But we feel very confident this, in general, is going to be a very good year.
What's the game plan for Playland down the road when it comes to rebuilding, improving, refurbishing? I know you have a nice list of things that you'd like to get done.
Well, you know, I think it's important to recall that the deal that was struck by my predecessor will go into effect in December of this year. So we will be able to operate Playland. We have a commitment to capital projects that we're going to complete and going to honor them. Some will be done this year, some will be done in the next couple of years. But the day-to-day manager of the park will be turned over to Standard Amusement as of December 1st this year. You know, I don't need to repeat our history between the county administration and Standard, but we've negotiated. We have a better deal that's worthwhile. And at this stage of the game, we're ready to go forward and have a good year that we're managing this year and set the stage for our partners to have a good year next year.
Is there $100 million in the offing laid out to improve Playland?
Yes, there is. Yeah, we're looking at some major improvements that are necessary. Some of the things you're going to see and some of the things you're not going to see. If you walk into Playland today, you look off to your left, you will see one of our buildings with towers that hold up the promenade is undergoing some major, you know, renovation. And so that is, you know, that's an example of the future of Playland being developed before your eyes. We have a building on the other side of the parking lot. You're never going to ride in it. It's called the Switchgear Building, and you need it in order to have the proper electrical services for the park, which you can imagine are pretty amazing. And you know, that's a separate and distinct improvement you're going to see. When the park closes, you're going to see more things happen. Fountain Plaza, other things happening, bathroom and so forth. And if you go there today, you'll see a refurbished and spruced up steeplechase derby racer ride. And you will see our redo of the carousel, which was burned 4 years ago, really went through a rough go of it, and has just been very painstakingly and lovingly brought back to its original character now.
It's hurricane season. Is the county ready for a nor'easter or two, or worse if that happens?
Well, look, I think we try to be as ready as we can. You'd be a fool to say you're completely ready. If we had a Cat 5 hurricane hit us dead on, I don't think we're ready for it. I'm not sure who is ready for that, of that magnitude. But I think we see Elsa making her way up the coast. We have a capable group of people in our emergency operations center. They send us daily memos to clue us in on what's happening out there. And this is certainly the big you know, reality of what we're facing in the short term, that this hurricane will come up through us and, you know, head on up to New England. We don't know that. It may track out to the west. Anything may happen on it. But whatever it is, we're trying to be ready. That's why we have the Emergency Services Department and the sense that when these issues come up, we work with closely with the local governments. Some things fall within the jurisdiction of the local government. Some things fall within our jurisdiction. But if we work together, we can effectively accomplish the mission of protecting our residents.
How closely do you work with Con Edison?
We have ongoing, you know, conversations. They're, you know, they're always involved in our calculations for incentivizing new development because you've got to have the gas hook up there, and whether or not the company is that we're working with in one project or another is prepared to deal with, you know, Con Edison, and most of them are because they want the gas and the electric, that we'll have, you know, a good working relationship to build on. We've had our differences over the years, but, you know, you try to work through what those differences are. That's what maturity is, and that's what democracy is.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about ELSA. The latest I've heard is that within 3 or 4 days, by the weekend, we could feel some effects of it. When one storm hits after another, how much of a toll does this take on your resources? Let's say we get 5 or 6 that come up this way this year.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how it hits us. If it hits us straight on as a Cat 5, we have a problem. If it's a glancing blow, it's much more manageable. You know, remember we had a sort of a nothing hurricane last year, Hurricane Isaias. It really didn't stay that long. It kind of blew right through. But the timing and the set of circumstances, it blew right through and it took out a lot of power lines and took out a lot of infrastructure. And so we're mindful that the minute we start to say, oh, we're on top of it, we got every angle covered, our planners are very alert. They're trying to come up with every strategy possible. But, it depends on the path of the storm, how it hits us, when it hits us, as to whether we'll be fully able to resist it. Let's hope it passes by our doorstep again.
You're running for re-election. Your challenger is Christine Sculte, the Republican, worked in the administration of your predecessor, Rob Astorino. She worked for one-time Yonkers Mayor Phil Amicone and his administration. You are the Democratic incumbent running for a second term. Why should Westchester residents place their trust in you again?
Well, I think you have a clear choice. You know, you've seen 4 years of what we've done. We've fixed the things that were broken, that we inherited from the prior administration that my opponent was the chief advisor to. There were fiscal issues that we had to address right off the bat. We've stabilized the finances. We've improved the financial rating of the county. We've cut taxes the last 2 years and are likely to cut it for the third year. We've fixed things that were broken, as I've said before, the Spring Ridge pools, the Miller House Historic Homestead, the North County Trailway, the New Rochelle Family Court was constructed all under our direction. We've tackled projects large and small. We reduced the overall size of the county workforce. We've reduced the spending in the county government from last year to this year. So we've really touched, you know, quite a lot of the bases. And most importantly, we took people through COVID in a rational, intelligent way. You know, many of the folks that are on the other side of the debate that I'm in, you know, tried to minimize COVID, that it was just a passing fad and a fantasy, that they sort of connected with the national administration of their party in that. And we said, no, that's not intelligent. We're going to be practical and rational. We're not going to close things for sport, and we're not going to open them for spite. We're going to try to be an intelligent leadership team, and I think we've shown that. So the voters of Westchester have a clear choice. You now see what we can do for the last 4 years. You saw the administration that my opponent was attached to for the prior 8 years. And I think we've got a very strong record. We're going to run on that record, and we're going to run vigorously. And but, you know, by the same token, I'm governing right now. You know, I don't need to be at every summer picnic handing out flyers saying vote for me. What I have to do is show you that we've got mature, good judgment in this administration, and we're going to keep showing that judgment every day.
I think I've pointed this out to you before that throughout COVID, I've spoken to so many leaders around Westchester at every level, and whether Democrat, Republican, whatever their affiliation might be, they all point to George Latimer as a guy who basically said, check your ego at the door, forget party affiliation. We're all in this as one together in Westchester, and they all gave you kudos regardless of party affiliation about the job you have done. Was this you, George Latimer, taking your governing style from your days on the Rye City Council more than 30 years ago to the State Assembly, to the State Senate, to the McCallion office building in White Plains, and just letting it all hang out, letting it loose, as they say?
Well, John, you've known me a long time. You and I have had radio interviews going back almost all of those 30 years.
30 years.
In those days. And I don't think I've really changed as a person. I got some gray hair. I'm a little overweight, but I'm still the same basic George Latimer. I'm very easily accessible. I do not have the police driving me around for personal security to sort of show off prestige. I did not take a pay raise when it was on the table and offered to me. I started my term by not putting my name on the signs of all the parks as my immediate predecessors have done. I walked into this job with experience, both in the private sector and the public sector. And I told people, I said, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do it in a low-key fashion. And it's not going to have a lot of rhetoric attached to it. You know, I'm seeing in national government a lot of rhetoric now, and some of it filters down to the state. And people want to bring it on down to the county, too. And when you work bipartisanly, you push that off to the side. Now, if my opponent wants to run and talk about those kind of ideological things, you're entitled to do it. It'll gin up the base of their party, but it's not going to appeal to the vast majority of Westchester people who want government to work. They want government to function. They want us to show that we can cooperate and we can accomplish things. I think we've done that. We've got more challenges ahead of us. We are by no means where we need to be in a host of different issues, but I think the trajectory line is good. And then one final point. I'm the first county executive to impose term limits on himself. We have 2 term limit now for county executive, and that really sits opposite any of the narrative of, people get into office, they only worry about themselves, they're power crazy, all that stuff. You wouldn't term limit yourself if you didn't think that there was the proper balance that you wanted to have with executive authority, legislative authority, and the voice of the people. So I'm running for a second term, and that's going to be my final term. I'm not asking the people of Westchester to hand me the county forever and ever. I think we've done a good job for 4 years. We ask for a final 4 years. There are things we had to put off to the side because of COVID. As we bring those things back and we accomplish them, I want to get as much done as I can in these 4 years. And then at the end of those 4 years, I'm happy to say, bring on the next person and let that person have their chance at it. That's what democracy is.
What's the playbook for the next term if reelected?
Well, I think, first of all, we have plenty of additional capital projects that we want to bring to fruition. We're working on the South County Trailway to match the North County Trailway in terms of its upgrade. The Memorial Field project, which we got off the ground and it's moving forward, won't be complete until the second term. But we'll see significant progress between now and the end of this year. We have plenty of projects, large and small, that are out there. We're in the process of converting our bus fleet and our car fleet to electric to reduce our carbon footprint. I'd like to see that through to the end of our ways and discussions. We certainly have a major task of affordable housing. We've been working on about 2,000 units. The report we did a couple of years ago showed that we need 11,000 units. The prior administration turned its back on affordable housing, did just what was minimally necessary to satisfy the federal lawsuit that they lost. In our case, we embrace it. We know that there has to be affordable workforce housing in every one of our communities, and we're opening suburban projects every day that we've had some involvement in, whether it's IDA funding or direct subsidy. And in each of those different cases, I think you're seeing people move into homes that they can live in, that they can thrive in, and their response is a positive response. That's government doing its job. And not going beyond that, not worrying about who's going to be governor and who's going to be president someday, just do your job. If you do it well, customize to it, I think the next term will look a lot like the first term in terms of concrete effort, and I think we're going to start the second term off in 2022, if it's granted to me, with a third tax cut, and we'll try to see how many more than we can string.
Next 6 months, final 6 months of your first term, what are you planning to get done between now and the end of the year, regardless of the election?
It's always very difficult because of the political season and the campaign season. I'd like to try to close out as many of the open labor contracts that we have so that whether I'm sitting in this chair a year from today or somebody else is, that we have a rational policy toward our workforce. We did not inherit that, but we're trying to make sure that that's the case. And we've made progress on that all throughout the course of the year. So that's a major thing between now and the end of the year, that we finalize the various union contract negotiations. A second big thing is we're going to restart the process that we had to freeze in public dialogue about the future of the airport. And there needs to be a robust dialogue about that. That's not just something where a group of people here or a group of people over there can make those decisions for everybody. Everybody has to have a role to play in that. And I do mean everybody, and that includes people who don't live anywhere near the airport because their realities are tied up in our realities in terms of supporting that airport. The legislation side of it, there's 5 or 6 different bills that both the legislature will be proposing. We'll be proposing some. Not enough time to get into them, but suffice to say, we're going to continue the direction that we have to try to show fairness and equality to people across the board.
Known you for a long time, as we just discussed. Every election I've seen you go through, the polls don't matter. The polls could say George Latimer leads, 100-0 for his opponent. And yet you campaign as if it's the reverse. Why do you have this kind of a mindset?
Well, you must remember that, you know, as a Democrat, I first ran for public office in Rye City, which has been my home for 36 years. And Rye City is a heavily Republican community. When I first ran for the city council, I wasn't given much of a chance to win. When I first ran for the county legislature, I was running for a seat as a Democrat that no Democrat had ever held before I had run for it. When I ran for the state Senate, I was challenging a man who was a multimillionaire who routinely would spend $3-4 million on a campaign for which I could not match that. And then my last campaign for county executive, I was the decided underdog until very late in the campaign. So all of my career, I've always had the sense that I had to fight and strive and push and convince people that I was right for the job that I was asking for and that it was not automatic in their minds, that they wouldn't just look at me and just instantly say, oh, yes, he clearly is the right person, that I would have to show a depth of knowledge, a depth of compassion, and a depth of energy, that if I could combine those three things, then you would be willing to put your faith in me as a city councilman, as a county legislator, as an assemblyman, a senator, and now as county executive. And I think that energy is still there. Now, my opponent is out there. I'm out there, too. I'm out there doing my job. And when we get a little closer to the heart of the full campaign in the fall, I'm going to have more than my share of things to say. And when I do, I'm going to put it before the voters of Westchester County. You have been treated me fairly for so many years. This could never be my last campaign. It'll certainly be my last campaign that I can foresee, having had just about every other position at some point in time. But who do you think? Who do you think is going to be the best protector of this county for the next 4 years? You know, not, you know, who's the best looking person or who hits a demographic or something like that. Who can do the job the best for the next 4 years? And I'm going to make a strong case that I'm that person.
After all the damage COVID has done, do you think we have finally turned a corner in the county and around this state and around this country too?
I think we have because of the vaccinations. You know, I'm saddened to see people that don't treat the vaccination situation for what it is. And there's the hardcore that is not vaccinated is likely to stay unvaccinated for their reasons. I'm not going to get into arguments across the dinner table with people who feel that way. I suppose they have their right to think the way they want. They have become vulnerable to all of these variant viruses and things that happen because it's been proving that vaccinations work. I mean, there's no question about it. The drop in infections has been dramatic since vaccinations begun. But I do think we've turned a corner. There'll be other tests down the road. Do we all have to get booster shots? There's a test down the road once the weather starts to get cool and we're going back indoors. Do we run the risk of something along those lines? We don't know. But all of those things are something that will be important to us for us to figure out. And I'm reasonably confident that we'll do a decent job over the days to come. We'll put COVID behind us as much as we can and get back to normalcy.
Charles Latimer, we thank you as always for joining us here on Westchester Talk Radio. All the best, and I'm sure we'll talk again throughout the campaign.
John, it's a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, George. Here on Westchester Talk Radio, produced by Shark Creative, westchestertalkradio.com, the Cup of Joe political show, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built, Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis, Hightower, Westchester. Managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard by White Plains Hospital, by Michael Lambriola, Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayopac Bank. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam and Dutchess, Orange and Fairfield County Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube, and download the app now, the Westchester Talk Radio app. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative, and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center. Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.